సాయి భగవాన్ Offering our most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. On this most beautiful occasion of the Sai Sannidhi Day, brother, I am reminded of a beautiful poem penned by Bhagavan himself on Draupadi. Bhagavan writes,
Patula paluma telaku yeduru chappangabodu.
She never questions or answers back her husband's.
Vari sevalu cheyaga teeradanadu.
She's never content, neither does she want to stop serving her husband.
Tanaku unnadanito tripti ganachunundu.
She was always satisfied and contented with whatever she received.
Draupadi ki satiye pativratayu ledu.
There is no other greater pativrata than Draupadi herself.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brother Giridhar, but I'm a little bewildered. I'm unable to make the connection between a padyam on Draupadi on this occasion of Sai Sannidhi Day.
I too was bewildered. When I was seated right here way back in 1999, Bhagavan was standing here and speaking to his MBA students. And all the students were praying to Bhagavan and they said, Swami, interview. Swami, please grant this interview. And Swami said, Wife leke aao, interview deta hai. So everybody had a hearty laugh. Swami was walking away to the interview room and the boys continued with their pleading and they said, Swami, interview Swami, please interview. Swami stopped, turned towards the students and with a stern face asked, Did you understand what Swami told you? Your mind is your wife. The Atma is the husband. When the mind and Atma are in perfect understanding with each other, just as when a wife and husband are in perfect understanding with each other, there is harmony at home. In the same way, when the mind follows the dictates of the Atma, there is perfect harmony and peace in this home called body. This is what Bhagavan meant even in the poem about Draupadi.
Patula palumatilaku yeduru chappangabodu.
Swami, through this poem, was giving us the quality of the mind of everyone in Sai Sannidhi, be it a student, a devotee, or a disciple of Bhagavan. These are the three foremost qualities of a one who is in Sai Sannidhi.
Patula palumatalaku yeduru chappangabodu.
A mind of such a devotee, such a student, will always be tuned to Bhagavan within, the Atma Rama, Sai Rama.
Vari sevalu cheyaga teeradanadu.
They are never satisfied serving Bhagavan. In the sense, there is always earnestness to serve Him more and more and more. And never to stop this service as long as there is a breath in their body.
Tanaku unnadanito tripti ganachunundu.
They are always satisfied with whatever Bhagavan gives them. They never ask for more. These are the three qualities of anyone who is in Sai Sannidhi.
Indeed, brother. How lucky we were to hear such a Upanishad from the Sadguru himself. In fact, if you look at the word Upanishad, Upa means near, Ni means below, and Shad means to be seated. We have been having that golden opportunity to sit at the lotus feet of the Sadguru and learn what we can today call as the Satya Sai Upanishad. And we have so many brothers here with us who have had that opportunity to receive the Satya Sai Upanishad from the Sadguru himself.
How wonderfully you have described this. But when you talk of Upanishadic teachings, the Guru and the disciple, what is the scene, the setting that comes to your mind?
Well, I can think of a small hut or a cottage nestled somewhere in the midst of sylvan greenery, lot of trees, maybe a lake somewhere facing the cottage, some birds chirping in the background, and maybe a waterfall somewhere again, which you can hear behind. That, and of course, the Guru seated with his disciples right at his feet.
Brother, you seem to be describing a Kodaikanal trip in Sahishruti.
Indeed. And we have some of our brothers here who have had that opportunity to accompany Bhagwan to Kodaikanal on numerous occasions, and they have received so many pearls of wisdom, the Satya Sai Upanishad, as I said, from Bhagwan at Kodaikanal. To speak a little bit about Kodaikanal, I'm just transported back to how the summer months of April and May, the rumor mills would start spinning. Whether Swami was in Parthi or in Vrindavan, everybody would be anticipating when Swami would leave to Kodaikanal. And so many dates will be flying around. Every devotee will want to know the departure date to book the tickets. Every student will be praying that his name is on that list of students whom Swami is taking along. And Kodaikanal itself, to be with the divine creator in the midst of his creation, it was an ethereal experience in itself. Brother Giridhar, do you know when Swami visited Kodaikanal the first time?
Maybe in the 80s?
You are way off the mark. He visited Kodaikanal for the first time in 1957 with Venkatamuni from Madras.
Oh.
And he visited regularly till 1966. And after that there was a big lull till the 1980s, as we most popularly remember Bhagwan in Kodaikanal. And in 1987, Swami decided that he will set up his third ashram. We have with us today one of the students whom Swami took on that trip.
Is it?
When Swami inaugurated the Sai Shruti ashram. I call Shivshankar Sai sir to share with us his memories from that first trip when Sai Shruti was inaugurated and some anecdotes that he could recall.
Sai Ram. Yes, as mentioned by Brother Siddharth, I was fortunate to accompany Bhagwan to Kodaikanal in 1987. Our group consisted of the first batch of research scholars. We had gone to Vrindavan for Bhagwan's darshan. Swami lovingly called all of us and told us about the building which had just then come up at Kodaikanal. He said, tomorrow we will be going to Kodaikanal. You will all be staying with me in our home at Kodaikanal. We were very excited. Swami told us so many details about that particular building. And then he said, tomorrow evening you will all reach Kodaikanal. You will all stay in a hotel for one night, and afterwards all of us will move in after the inauguration of that building. We were very excited. And Swami then lovingly asked all of us, said, what name shall we put for that building? The Lord of the Universe asking us to suggest name for his residence at Kodaikanal. We were very excited. Sai Nandana, Sai Chandana, Sai Spandana, and all sorts of Sais came out as suggestions from our side. But the Lord revealed his name, his mind, and said, it shall be called as Sai Shruti. Sai Shruti is a very significant name. As we all know, Shruti in Sanskrit is connected to the music. The Sai Shruti, the beautiful, melodious musical voice of Sai. On the appointed day, Swami inaugurated the Sai Shruti building with students and devotees chanting Vedam and Bhajans. Especially the devotees from Tamil Nadu were very happy because now Swami has a permanent residence along with darshan grounds where all the devotees can sit, because Bhagwan used to always see for that first, the convenience of the devotees. And true to the name of Sai Shruti, that particular year Bhagwan related to us the relation between the creation and the creator as explained in Vedas and our scriptures. I recall one particular incident, a very beautiful, memorable incident which happened in Sai Shruti that year. As I mentioned, Swami was explaining to us the creation and the creator and the bond which exists between the two. He was explaining the Omkar, which is the primordial sound, which pervades the entire universe. He was explaining to us after the cosmic explosion how all the galaxies were going away from each other at rapid speed, spinning, how our own Milky Way, our Milky Way galaxy, is formed, and how our Mother Earth got separated from the Sun. And then, at that instant, Swami stopped, waved his hand, and created a beautiful 3-inch long oval shaped Prithvi Lingam. Swami said, this Shivalingam is the Prithvi Lingam. It is the shape of the original earth. Because of the spinning, it became gradually round in shape. And explained how the oceans were formed, how the atmosphere got created. It was a blissful experience for all of us to listen from the Creator himself about the creation, the crest jewel of his creation, the Mother Earth. So with that, I fondly cherish this particular experience of Sai Shruti inauguration and the Prithvi Lingam, which is associated with this trip. Sai Ram.
One of the most alluring aspects of a four-day trip was the multiple materializations that students witnessed from close quarters. From the Chudamani, the crest jewel of Mother Sita, to the jewel that adorned the heart of Lord Krishna, the Kaustubham. Swami thrilled the students with these miraculous materializations along with the associated stories. However, such materializations did not happen during all visits. But what definitely happened to each student during every visit was the deep internal bonding with the Lord. Kodaikanal conferred nearness to Swami, no doubt, but it conferred the more valuable dearness to him too. Let us now hear from Brother Rameshwar Prushti, who was blessed to witness both these aspects of materializations and of internal bonding.
Offering my loving pranams at the lotus feet of beloved Swami, Sai Ram to all assembled here. The Kodai trips are intense sessions with the divine that leave you with lasting lessons for life. One of the main aspects of the Kodai trips were the amazing materializations that Swami did. These materializations gave us a realization of what Swami is. In the year 1999, Swami had taken us to the hilltop bungalow. After blessing all with individual photographs, Swami blessed the ladies with a group photograph. As the photographic session was coming to an end, Swami's hand moved in the air, and there came a shining metallic piece of art. It was so shining in the bright sunlight, it was almost blinding. We were trying to figure out what it was. We could make out it was a diamond brooch in the shape of rose with two leaves. Swami, as every time whenever he materializes, he is so filled with the childlike joy and innocence. He was sewing it around and then he revealed that it was the brooch of Mother Sita. Who else but the Creator could materialize such a beautiful piece. Then lovingly Swami pinned it on his robe here, the place of the heart, the place of the concert. Lord Rama having Mother Sita in his heart. And as all eyes were glued to that, I was wondering what Swami would do with this. Everybody's mind has this question, whom, what is Swami? Is Swami going to give it to someone? Who is the lucky one? And we were keeping a track what Swami is doing with that. We had a lunch with Swami, and during the lunch Swami had wrapped it in a handkerchief and was holding it. Later we returned to Sai Sruti with Swami. Few of us were lucky enough to be just at the doorstep of Swami's room before he would retire. At the doorstep, looking at all of us, he opened the kerchief. We again saw that shining brooch, and the next moment it disappeared. We were wonderstruck. That's the lesson he is giving us. He is the master of both matter and energy. Matter and energy don't matter for him. Another day, during the evening session, Swami had asked one of the elders to speak. During the talk, there was a heavy downpour. There was water leaking from the first floor. So Swami asked for the talk to be paused and asked that the bhajans should start. As the bhajans were going on, one of the brothers was singing a bhajan on Rama. And everybody sensed something. You know, they saw a twinkle in Swami's eye, and all attention is on Swami. And then his hand moves in the air and comes a huge golden shining medallion. All the necks are craned to see what it is. And the Lord, in all his humility, gets up from his seat, moves round, showing it to each and every one. That medallion had a beautiful, regal, majestic image of Lord Rama standing tall with the bow and arrows. And then Swami revealed that this was the image of Rama just when he was about to be coronated. Every time Swami materializes something, creates something, we see that all our attention is on that creation. For the next few minutes, we are not seeing Swami but seeing what he is holding in his hand. And he never forgets to remind us the lesson that you are deluded by the creation and you forget the Creator, who is the basis of all the creation. He is the Ajanubahu, the mightiest of the might, the tallest of the tall, the omnipotent one. Yet that powerful Lord, one morning, in the early morning session that we have at Sai Sruti, it's around 5:45, Swami came out of his room. We were all seated in front of him. He looks at me and asks, "Hey, Mira Putti, hey, you short boy, what's your height?" I keep quiet. "Are you tall or am I tall?" When the Lord of the universe asks you such simple questions, it is always wise to keep quiet. Swami doesn't stop with that. He then asks me to stand up beside him. As I do that, he looks at me and says, "You are only 5 feet 2 inches. Without hair itself, I am 5 feet 3 inches. The Lord of the universe, 5 feet 3 inches, what 3 inches? You are all the three, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara combined together. The one whom the Vedas declare Anaro aniyan mahato mahiyan, the smallest of the small and the biggest of the big. Such an Lord comes down to our level to make us feel His love, His concern, His care for us. That's His humility. The ego we have of the little knowledge that we have blinds us to the knowledge of our ego. Humility and selflessness, these are the two things which Swami lived all His life. And more so in Kodaikanal, we experienced it as we lived every moment of the day with Him. Kodaikanal, He gave all the waking hours just for the boys. And the lessons that we take from Swami, humility and selflessness, these moments that He blessed us continue to remain the springs of joy and inspiration for us. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Atmano mokshartam jagat hitayacha, for the emancipation of oneself and the good of the universe. That is the goal that Swami wants each student of His to adopt and observe in life, because one's emancipation lies in the good of the universe alone. Swami stresses that the individual is a part of society and nature, just as the finger is part of the hand and the arm. Just as the finger cannot serve the body by harming the hand or arm, so too an individual cannot serve God by ignoring society or nature. They are all connected. Is that not the reason why Bhagwan encourages us to pray Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu? Would the Lord miss the opportunity to ingrain this in His students during a Kodai trip? Brother Deepak Anand fondly shares one such experience.
Om Shri Sai Ram. As Brother Siddharth very correctly said, that as we went closer and closer in physical proximity to Bhagwan, we realized where Swami actually was. Swami was not with us. His mind and His heart was always with His devotees. Taking the cue from where Brother Prushti left us, in the morning at around 5:45, when Swami would gently open His door and give us the first morning darshan, the first action Swami would be, did you have any food? Did you sleep well? And without waiting for our answer, Swami would very slowly part the curtain, just a wee bit, and peep outside the window. And looking at the devotees on that road waiting for the darshan for the last 2 or 3 hours, Swami will point towards us and said, see boys, those devotees from so many far countries, from Russia, from Italy, from USA, they are waiting for the last 2 or 3 hours just to get a moment of proximity with me. Learn from them, boys, learn from them. I'm giving you so much of proximity. You must learn what you must get from a darshan of Bhagwan, from these devotees. In one of the trips, we were all praying to Swami for a photograph with Him. Already 8 days had gone by and not a single photograph with Swami. And we were all praying, Swami, we have not had a single photograph with us. Swami, it is our first trip with you, and these memories are so important for our life. Swami, please. And Swami would always brush us aside and say, no, later, we will see, chustamo. And we were all very disappointed. Then came the Isharama day, and Swami had given us t-shirts with the logo, love all and serve all, help ever and hurt never. And wearing those t-shirts, we put in our best to prepare the prasadam plates and distribute them to all the devotees who had assembled there in thousands. And Swami asked the state president, how did my boys serve today? Did they serve the devotees well? And the state president said, Swami, they serve very, very well, Swami. They are your boys. And Swami was so happy that on a single day, Swami gave us 5 photographs with Him. On a single day.
What pleases Swami the most? Where is Swami? This, we say it is a Sai Sannidhi day. Yes, many of my brothers sitting here and myself may have had innumerable opportunities to be with Swami in his physical proximity. But where was really Swami? And I will end with one particular instance when taking cue from the 5 photographs on a single day, we now took our demands to a higher level and said, Swami, please take us for a picnic now. We have heard about the picnics with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal. Swami, please take us for a picnic. And Bhagwan again was postponing. And one day, Swami said, okay, let us today go to the hilltop bungalow. And Swami came into our bus and it was the moments of our lives. Swami came, he distributed so many snacks for us to eat. Swami spoke to many of us. We were all surrounding him like, you know, a swarm of butterflies surrounding a lotus flower in full bloom. And we were having the best time of our life. Swami was materializing many things and dematerializing many things also. And we just thought this was the best moment. If there were to be a heaven, it was this. And at that moment, all the curtains of the bus were drawn. We were alone with the bus surrounding him. And Swami said, stop the bus. And I was surprised. Swami, this incessant flow of the Ganges of love. Swami, why this break? Let it continue. And Swami said, stop the bus. Everything stopped. Swami parted the curtain a little bit. And there were 2 woodcutter women carrying a log of sticks on their heads, walking through the forest area. And Swami told some elders, go and call these 2 women. And these 2 women were first scared. Why are they being called upon? Is it the forest officers trying to catch them and penalize them? But later when they were told it is Bhagwan Baba himself, they dropped their bundles of wood and came running. And Bhagwan, in their own language, blessed them, guided them. He asked from the elders some currency notes and gave them. And blessed them profusely. And giving them path namaskar, asked the policemen who were there along with us to keep the bundles back on their heads. And then send them back with love. Why do we celebrate Sai Sannidhi sometimes, I wonder? I think it is the devotees who need him. It is the devotees who are praying to him. It is the devotees who are far away from him physically, but are remembering him with love. They are the people who have that true Sai Sannidhi with him. And that is my prayer to myself and to all my brothers sitting here. That if we need Swami, he is with us. And if we realize that we cannot live without him, he'll be present in our lives, every moment of our lives. And one small instance come to my mind before I end, and that is that one day Swami had gone to a devotee's house, and on the way back Swami got a car full of candies with him. And we were really enjoying partaking the candies in Bhagwan's presence. And you know, Bhagwan, what did he say? He said, these candies were being sold by a small boy who is an orphan. To finance his schooling in the morning, he sells candies in the evening. I gave him 4 times the price that he asked for, because his examinations are coming and he should not be wasting time selling candies in the evening now. He must be studying. That is Bhagwan. If you really go closer and closer, if we go closer and closer on to Bhagwan, we realize how much he is not with us, how much he is with his true devotees, even though they may be physically very far from him. Thank you. Sai Ram.
It was not as if Swami had to take the boys out on a drive or create an object out of thin air to drive home lessons for life. Every moment with the Lord is a learning experience, if only one keeps his eyes, mind, and most importantly, one's heart open. At Kodaikanal, the day literally started with God, was filled with God, spent with God, and completed with God. There were lessons galore throughout the day. Among us, we have Ruchi Desai, sir, who was blessed to accompany Bhagwan to Kodai, and he has many instances to share where Swami taught valuable lessons in seemingly mundane acts.
Yes, as Brother Siddharth said, living with God is true education. The teacher that he is, right through, there are always lessons for us to learn. It's up to us whether we observe him and learn those lessons and benefit from those lessons. When Brother Prashti was talking about, and Brother Deepak was talking about photographs that were taken, I was reminded of an incident when Swami was standing, the students had prayed for a photograph and he had agreed to take photographs, and he was standing and the students were coming and standing next to him and getting the photos taken. And in that simple thing, he found an opportunity to impart a lesson. As the boys would come one by one, come and stand next to him, get their photo taken, and then move, and the next person would come and stand, he suddenly very casually remarked, "See, all of you come and go. All of you are impermanent. I am the only permanent one here." No incident is too trivial to drive home the deepest lessons of life. But these lessons are often learnt the hard way, and let me narrate one such experience. One of the mandatory features of a Kodai trip was that Swami would invariably ask the boys to go shopping. While they would have accompanied Swami, he would give them money and say, "Go and buy what you want," and invariably they would buy things for their parents, mother, father, brothers, sisters, and he would encourage them to buy things. When they came back from the shopping trip, he would invariably ask what they had bought, and he would love to see what they had bought, like in a typical family. Many of the boys had bought shawls for their fathers or mothers. And the next day afternoon, he suddenly called me and told me, he said, "Go to those Tibetans and buy a few hundred shawls. We'll take them to Puttaparthi." We've all seen Swami here always distributing something or the other to students, to devotees, to visitors on every possible occasion. And he wanted to take a few hundred of these shawls and bring it with him to Puttaparthi. So I was dispatched to the market. I went to the market and, like typically what like any of us would think, since we are buying a few hundred shawls, we have some bargaining power. So I tried to bargain. These Tibetans, they didn't have that much, they were not carrying that much of stock. And they said, "We don't have, we'll get it for you." But instead of succeeding at my bargaining and getting a lower price, they started putting a higher price. I said, "What's wrong with you? I'm buying so many hundred." They said, "No sir, we don't carry that kind of stock with us, so we got to go somewhere 55 kilometers from here and get it specially. So it's going to cost us, and that's why we're asking you for extra." I was very annoyed. I thought I had buying power. I was very annoyed at this attitude. So I came back and I started thinking, I said, if they're getting it from somewhere, let me find out where they're getting it from. So I spent the next couple of days trying to find out where they source their material from. And I found out that there is a factory which is about 55 kilometers from Kodai in the plains, from where they buy this material. So once in a week, once in 10 days, they make a trip to this factory, buy material, come back and set up the shop here and they sell. I said, why buy from them? Why not buy from that factory? It's going to be cheaper. After all, you're taking a few hundred pieces, so it's going to be cheaper. So I started making plans of how to send someone to that factory and get it from that factory and bring it. So I thought, okay, let it come. I had already sounded out a couple of people who would help us to get it from that factory. I said, let it come. When it comes, I'll tell Swami. Swami probably knew what was happening, and therefore that day afternoon, he asks me, what happened to the shawls? I said, Swami, they didn't have so many. I was wondering how to tell Swami. So I said, Swami, they didn't have so many. No, did you place an order? I said, Swami, before we go to Parthi, we will be getting the shawls. How will you get the shawls? So then I had to tell the story. I said, Swami, they're getting it from this factory. The factory is 55 kilometers away. We are paying this price. They're not even willing to come down, even 1 rupee, though we are buying so many hundred. So I'm making arrangements that we get it from the factory. I thought I'll get a pat on my back. That's what any CEO would have done to a good manager. And I thought I was being a very good manager with Swami's money. I said, Swami, we'll get it cheaper. And after all, everyone here knows how Swami uses every penny of the money that he gets into his trust very, very judiciously. So I thought I was doing something very nice. And in return, what do I get? I don't get a pat on my back. I get a kick on my back. I got the firing of my life. The ultimate lesson was, the message that Swami tried to drive home to me was, you don't know how these Tibetans work hard. They struggle. 2 months in a year they get business. The rest of the time there are no tourists coming here. They're working so hard, they're refugees, they've come from thousands of kilometers away and settled down here in South India. They come from the other end of the country. And you're trying to rob them from whatever little they earn by their hard work. You're trying to snatch away the food from their mouth. This was something totally and completely new to me, completely alien line of thinking. But here was Swami, who was used to saving every little penny in the work that he was doing, so that the money which comes into his trust is being used judiciously. But here he was, his compassion for these people overriding all the worldly considerations that people like us have. As Swami said to me that day, he said, you can think only in terms of money, you can't think in terms of anything else. But when I later narrated this incident to someone else, there was a background also to this incident with this person narrated to me. And this background was a trip to Kashmir that Swami had made some years before that. In Kashmir, he had come across again a similar group of Tibetans. And here was Swami himself facing those Tibetans. And he bought a shawl from those Tibetans. Since Swami was himself present there and he picked up a shawl from those Tibetans, and he asked them how much for it, they refused to take any money from Swami. And they said it is their only opportunity to give an offering to Swami. And they prayed that Swami accept that shawl. He accepted it. But when the Lord takes a little from you, he gives back many, many fold. Let me just close with another lesson. If you're talking of Swami's concern, it's concern for every kind of person. As Brother Deepak narrated the incident of the woodcutter ladies, this was in a trip where we were on our way to Kodaikanal and the students were traveling in a bus, and they would invariably like Swami to come into their bus, spend some time with them in the bus. And he obliged. Halfway through the trip, he got down from the car, got into the bus, the empty car driving, which of course has its own message. As Swami says, look, people are putting namaskar to the car, though I am not in the car. I am sitting in the bus, nobody is bothered about the bus. Oh, it's all a question of your association. When the car is associated with me, even the empty car gets namaskar. But when I am associated with you, nobody bothers even about me. But that's not the point that I'm trying to drive across. I think that's been expressed many times in this audience. After traveling for about an hour in the bus, Swami saw a group of poor peasants rushing towards the car and the bus. They were in a field and they were rushing towards this as this small cavalcade was going on the highway. And Swami decided to stop the bus, get down from the bus and bless them. So he got down from the bus. It so happened that I was standing near the doorway, and therefore I opened the door of the bus and got down from the bus onto the highway. It was around 12 o'clock in the afternoon, a hot April day, and you can imagine a tar road, a tar highway. As I stepped, I realized the burning tar, the hot tar below me, and I wasn't able to stand still on my 2 feet. I was tiptoeing, jumping from one foot to another. It was so hot. Swami came down. Luckily, before Swami came down, there's another student who came down. And this student, understanding the situation, because he saw me jumping from one foot to another, and he also felt the heat. Swami would generally, as everyone has seen, generally not wear any footwear. He would glide on the earth, But then when he used to make these kind of trips, there would be a pair of footwear lying in the car, and therefore the student rushed to the car, picked up that pair of footwear and tried to offer it to Swami. Actually, the student was, Swami had seen, I was jumping there and I was signaling to this student, get the footwear from the car. Swami saw me signaling to him. He got the footwear. He was wondering. So I was trying to gesticulate to him as to how to offer it to Swami. Swami saw all this and was very annoyed. He got down from the bus, refused to put his feet on the footwear, walked up to those peasants, blessed them profusely, gave them some fruits, and finally decided to go back to the car instead of going to the bus. He had already spent an hour in the bus. So as he went back to the car, and I opened the car door for Swami to enter the car, in a very soft voice, he reprimanded me. He said, "Dhanaputta, you stupid fellow, how can I wear those chappals? Can you see those peasants? How poor they are?" It was then that I, as Swami sat in the car and I closed the door, I turned to see those people, and these were all really poor peasants with half dhotis and torn saris and old clothes. None of them were wearing any footwear. Some of them had sticks in their hand, the typical poor villagers that they were. Here was the Lord of the universe. When he decided to identify himself with them, he identified himself with them completely to such an extent that he became one with them, didn't even feel like wearing footwear because they were in that state. Yes, brothers and sisters, living with God is true education, and that has been the story of each one of us. I'm sure all of us can say, "You have touched me, and therefore I have grown." Sai Ram.
In Kodaikanal, Swami once asked, "For a devotee who comes once a year or so, I give him just a passing glance and he's thrilled for the rest of his life, or at least till his next trip. But I'm talking to some others day in and day out. Why are they not happy?" There wasn't any response, and Swami then explained, "It is because of recapitulation. The devotee who has had one experience continues to recapitulate on it so many times that when I give that experience once again, he's fully thrilled. It goes deep within his heart. Unfortunately, not all of you recapitulate your moments with Swami in this manner." Swami then added, "If you relive an experience with me continuously, I am bound to bless you with that experience again." Dearest Swami, this opportunity to recall our experiences are a blessing, and perhaps the best way we can connect with you again and again. Thank you, Swami. You are ours, and we always want to be yours.
प्यार की नगरी में सदा
Sai, Om Shri Sai Ram. Placing my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. As our brothers so wonderfully shared about their experiences with the Lord in the blue hills of Kodaikanal, it gave us all a glimpse of that unfettered access that Bhagwan would grant out of His grace to His students. And in all the time that Bhagwan spent with His students, speaking to them, witnessing their sports and games, and the dramas that they would enact in His presence, what was most important to Bhagwan was to nurture them into men and women of character, who would cherish the ideal that service to man is service to God. And as we all blossomed under His love and His care, we could see for ourselves the purity and the nobility with which the institutions that He had set up were carrying on His mission to uplift mankind. And how we yearned to be part of these institutions and thus gain His proximity, His sannidhi. And so precious, so prized was this opportunity for all of us that we were willing to spend months, even years, praying to Bhagwan for this chance to be near Him and to serve Him. And here we are all today, gathered here this afternoon. And with this program, we attempt to convey the various flavors and fragrances of this very, very unique experience of being a servant of the Lord. And for this part of the program, I request Brother Bhargav and Brother Tara Shankar to join me here to share some of their experiences.
Sairam, Brother Bhargav.
Sairam, Brother Hari.
So, you were an engineering graduate and you went on to do your master's in business administration from Bhagwan's university here. And then you went on to wait for more than a decade for Bhagwan's directions. And I've always wondered, what is it that had you going? What was that which kept you motivated the entire time, more than a decade?
Thank you, Brother Hari. It's a very difficult question to answer. Let me make an attempt. If you remember, whenever Swami used to talk about the lofty ideal of surrender, Sharanagati of Lakshmana towards Lord Rama, his eyes used to sparkle. There used to be a joy. There used to be a sense of satisfaction in his eyes. It always captured me. I felt I should do something, something in a very small way, so that I can see the same sparkle in his eyes. Then I made a small prayer to Swami. Swami, when I finish my studies, please, please guide me so that what should I do next? And thus my waiting started. And you very well know, Brother Hari, it is not easy. Every step there is uncertainty. You never know when he will call, how he will call, how much time it will take. So 2 years down the line, I was feeling really low. At that point of time, Swami called few of us for a personal audience. And you won't believe what he told us. He said, "Idi na drushtam, my good fortune that I am talking to all of you." We are not able to believe that he actually told those words. Because we always feel it is our good fortune to be in his presence. It is our good fortune that we are serving him. But here is the Lord who is telling it is his good fortune that he is with us. When I pondered over this, I spontaneously felt a connection with him, a connection of love and sweetness, and that longing that I should serve here in any respect. It became more strengthened. And thus, I started waiting.
And now, you are serving in the administrative block of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And what do you think should be the objective? What is the purpose of all of us who are serving here in his institutions?
Let me elaborate this with an interesting episode. When I was waiting for his command, he used to often ask me a question. Ni iccha emo cheppu. Tell me what you want to do. And like a parrot used to reply, Swami, mi iccha na iccha. What is your will is my wish. Initially he used to feel happy. After a particular amount of time, he was not pleased with my replies. He started poking fun at me. Oh, naiche nicha. Oh, kadgar, niche naicha. He used to play with the words, you, me, you. This started happening so much so that I started getting scared of facing him also. And invariably he used to come to me and ask me the same question. So, when I thought about it deeply, Swami gave me the understanding that Sharanagati or surrender is not something superficial. It is not lip service. It is very, very deep. It is something which has to be lived and experienced from moment to moment. That there is no you, there is no me. There is only His will, and that has to be completely accepted. And needless to say, after I got this understanding, he stopped asking me the question totally. So, Brother Hari, what I feel, wherever we do service here, in whatever capacity we serve, it should be only one objective. As he says, to be like the flute, which is totally hollow and without any imperfections, so that he can blow his divine music through us. And what else than this place, which has a professional setup and ample opportunities we have to imbibe the deep spiritual lessons. Thank you.
That was indeed a very extraordinary sharing, Bhargav. Thank you so much. And now coming to you, Brother Tara, yours was a very interesting case. You had a job offer on hand and then Swami asked you to stay back and serve over here. Can you narrate to all of us what exactly happened at that time?
Surely. Sairam, after completion of my studies, I wanted Swami to guide me what to do next. I waited for 2 years and finally thought I would go for a job outside, and luckily landed on one. When I got my appointment letter, that very night, Swami appeared in my dream. And it seemed like he wasn't happy me going out for a job. When I woke up the next morning, I wasn't convinced. I wanted him to tell me physically whether to stay back or to go out for a job. That evening, I sat with my appointment letter inside Bhajan Hall. Fortunately, Swami called me. It was almost replay of my dream, what I saw in my dream. And here also he was disapproving. He was telling, parents ko ichha nahi hai, parents ke virudh mat jao. Meaning, parents do not want you to go out. Then, after a few days, my parents came here. Swami called them for an interview. Swami said, I will take care of him. I will give him everything he needs. I will give him a job. Let him stay. Today, by his grace, I am working in the finance department of Bhakta Sahayak Division. It is through music that I got his sannidhi. So I might fail in expressing my feelings through words. So it would be through music I could express my feeling better. Kindly permit me.
हे श्याम सुंदरा हे साई सुंदरा हे श्याम सुंदरा हे साई सुंदरा भरती पुरेश्वरा हे साई सुंदरा परती पुरीश्वरा हे साई सुंदरा हे श्याम सुंदरा हे साई सुंदरा नीलमेघ सुंदरा नीरजलोचना नीलमेघ सुंदरा नीरजलोचना ब्रह्मांड ब्रह्मांड नायका हे साई सुंदरा हे श्याम सुंदरा हे साई सुंदरा
थैंक यू
Thank you, Brother Thara. That was really very beautiful.
And between you and Brother Bhargav, you have taken across this us through this very important moment where we closed one chapter of our life, that as a student, and then opened another where we would step into a role that would carry many responsibilities with it. And for us, our perception of Swami itself expanded. So he was no longer just the chancellor of the university where we were studying. He was now the head of several institutions. The hospitals that are run by the trust, the ashram establishment itself, and the various welfare projects that are run by the trust, the water project and so on. And then we saw something very, very remarkable. That in all the time that Swami would be spending in running all these institutions, these various projects, he would still find time to take care of the individual welfare of all those who are serving under him. I request Brother Shiv Kumar to come up and share a very touching experience that he had in this relation.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Thank you, Brother Hari. By Swami's grace and blessings, I had the opportunity of playing the tabla in the Mandip Bhajan group. And it was after I completed my PhD, Swami had even given the opportunity, one of the most precious moments, when he asked me to walk beside him during the darshan. And soon after that, he even gave me the job of teaching in the university as a lecturer in the Department of Chemistry. I was extremely happy. But on the 4th February of 2002, I met with a major accident. I was brought to the super speciality hospital in a very critical condition because I had lost a lot of blood and my bones were broken into pieces. And the doctors here immediately shifted me to Bangalore to the MS Ramaya Hospital, because at that time the orthopedics department was not functional in our super hospital. There, a team of 9 doctors headed by Dr. Sundaresh, when they looked at my case, they were discussing and trying to take a decision. The decision was whether to amputate my leg to save my life or to save my life or to risk my life to try to save my leg. But when 8 doctors were saying that it has to be amputated, it was Dr. Sundaresh who requested them that he cannot take this decision because he was an ardent devotee of Swami and he knew that I was a Swami student. So he said, let us wait for a day before he can take this critical decision. Fortunately, Swami was in Vrindavan at that time and Dr. Sundaresh went to Vrindavan and prayed to Swami. And Swami said, amputation chayavaddu, bhagane narastadu, ee prasadam ichchayi. Meaning, do not amputate his leg. He will walk normally. Give him this prasadam. And I think today I stand before you all, it itself speaks of the testimony of his words. And it was not as if that I had not gone through the pain. It took me about 8 months for the entire recovery to happen when they had made many operations. And more so from the physical pain, I was very mentally down because I was wondering whether I will ever be able to serve Swami, whether I will be able to even take classes standing
for a long time or even get an opportunity to sit on the floor and play the tabla, because those were the most dearest things. We want to be close with Swami. But the only thing which kept me going was Swami used to always inquire through the doctors, how is he doing? He even used to send prasadam, sweets, just to make sure that I was recovering faster and faster. And one fine day he even sent word, let him join the university and start taking classes instead of being depressed. And brothers and sisters, when I look back today, after having served the institution to the best of my capabilities as an assistant professor in the Department of Chemistry, I can only say that this incident was a blessing in disguise, where I was able to experience Swami's love and His attention. I place my gratitude to Swami for giving me this opportunity. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Brother Shivakumar, for that very moving narration. And indeed, he also got back that proximity to Bhagwan, because Swami went on to take him on various trips to Kodaikanal and to Bombay and Harshi in 2009. And even as you can all see, that's how involved Swami was in our lives, and indeed continues to be that involved. His guidance, His counsel was available to us at all times, and not just for personal matters, but also for matters relating to our work and how to approach our work and how to deal with the various issues that come up day to day in our work. And to share the insights and learnings from numerous interactions over a decade with Bhagwan, we have brothers Karthik and Sai Kiran from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of High Medical Sciences, Whitefield. They joined the hospital way back in 2001, and today they both are senior managers in their departments. I request brother Karthik and Sai Kiran to please take over the stage.
Sai Ram, and thank you, Hari. When we first started working in the hospital, in the Bangalore hospital, we used to come to Prashantinilayam every Sunday. And I remember it was one such Sunday, we were seated somewhere over there where those small children are sitting now, somewhere in the fourth block. And Swami came to us and asked, why have you come today? We were not as wise as one of the previous speakers who said, when Swami asks you a simple question, it's better not to answer. But we were soon to learn that and much more. So we said, Swami, today is Sunday, so we have come. Oh, so you have come because today is Sunday and not to have my darshan? That set us all thinking. Our focus should be Swami. When we take it back to the workplace, we work because we want to offer it to Swami. We do not work just because it's a working day. We work because we want to offer it to Swami. And when we do work in such a spirit, our work goes much beyond the call of duty.
Look, Karthik, as you were speaking about going beyond the call of duty, I'm reminded of Swami's concern for patients would not be limited just to provide the medical treatment. In an interview, he said, many of the patients coming to our hospital are so poor, they cannot even afford the train fare to go back home. Do not hesitate to help such patients. If required, come and ask me. I will provide all that you need.
I remember that interview, Sai Kiran. In fact, Swami, you know, whenever we refer to the hospital as Swami's hospital, he used to correct us, not Swami's hospital, sir, your hospital. He always used to, in his own inimitable way, teach us to take ownership. There was another beautiful analogy that he narrated in the bhajan hall in one of the Sai Sanidhi sessions. If a dog finds itself in a room of mirrors, it sees so many dogs around and then starts barking. But that only worsens the situation as all the other dogs start barking back. But Swami said, if a man were to find himself in such a room, see the crucial difference here, he says he knows that what he sees in the mirror is but his own reflection. So let's say he does not like what he sees in the reflection. Let's say the hair is out of place in the reflection. He does not reach out to the mirror and then correct. He takes out a comb and combs his own hair, knowing very well that the reflection too would correct itself. Likewise, even in real life, he said, the world is just a reflection of the inner being. So when you take corrective action yourself, you will find that the situations will correct themselves. The solutions lie within.
Karthik, isn't this what we saw in Swami's life too? He converted his compassion into productive action. When we see drought, we would blame the rain gods. When Swami saw drought, he started water projects.
When we see the diseased, we merely feel pity. Whereas when he saw the diseased, out of his compassion were born temples of healing.
When we see decline in human values, we just shrug helplessly. But when Swami saw decline in values, he started value-based educare.
And not just that, all these he provided totally free of charge. And when asked, Swami, why free? He said, all are my family, my very own. Can we charge for providing services to your own family members?
What a lofty ideal. In fact, not only did Swami set up institutions which are models for the society to emulate, he also inspired us to join his mission, and he continues to guide us to this day. It is his grace and inspiration that we are all here in his sannidhi.
Definitely, Sai Kiran. And his guidance was so simple and easy to absorb and assimilate. When one senior doctor asked Bhagwan, Swami, how do we run the hospitals? His answer was so simple. He just said, "E hospital ni illu laga chusko." He just said, treat this hospital as your own home. In that one sentence was encompassed all possible advice that could be given, all possible expectations, all possible suggestions there could be. Everything was enshrined in just that one sentence.
Karthik, you would recall many a time speaking to the staff, Swami would emphasize on unity, on being able to do a work together. And he would say, understanding unte, adjustment vastundi. Where there is understanding, there will be adjustment.
Talking about working with people, Swami gave a very beautiful illustration. Generally, we think by management, it is just getting work done by others. Swami said, you should not be like oil on water. You should be like sugar in water. Just as sugar dissolves itself completely, so too our individual identities should be dissolved completely, adding sweetness and value to the entire group.
Also, just as Ruchi sir pointed out earlier, prudent use of resources was something Swami was very particular about. He would say, resources should be utilized based on need, keeping in mind the faith and the trust the donors have placed in Swami and his institutions. The amount or the value was never a concern. To him, what mattered was the attitude with which the money was either donated or utilized.
Do you remember, Sai Kiran, the many occasions when Swami himself used to personally switch off the lights and fans after an interview was over? He demonstrated by personal example never to waste money or energy. In fact, when the government announced a power subsidy for our hospital at Bangalore, these were the words Swami had to say. waste power just because it is given free. And all these teachings are enshrined in our hearts. His words reverberate in our minds even as we work, so that we work according to His directions. As we gather here today, recollecting those precious moments that He spent with us, sharing His affection and benediction, teaching us and guiding us with all the love and patience that only a divine mother can possibly give. Let's watch a few video clippings now of those wonderful moments that we've shared. Sai Ram.
My pillar cheptuntaru, Swami, meerunduga maakem bhayam.
That's why boy is saying, Swami, when you are with us, we don't need to be afraid of
anybody.
Bhagwan, you don't need to feel sad
about it.
We want to serve you and carry our
life here. There
are hundreds of boys here who refuse to go, who refuse to accept employment jobs elsewhere. They want to stay here and serve Bhagwan. In fact, that amounts to a self-help also. If Bhagwan tells you clearly what the job undertaken by boys, you are not in position to believe. That is unbelievable job they do.
ఎవరో ఒకరు వచ్చి మా పిల్లవాడిని తీసుకుని పోతామని ఇద్దరు పిల్లలను తీసుకుని పోయారు.
Someone came, they wanted two boys from our college and they took these two boys with them.
తీసుకుని పోయి అక్కడ పోయి వాళ్లకు నెలకు 50,000 60,000 ఆ విధంగా ఇస్తూ వచ్చారు.
And they started paying these boys at the rate of 50,000 rupees, 60,000 rupees salary per month.
ఈ దుడ్డు మాకు అక్కర్లేదని చెప్పని వారి దుడ్డు వారికి ఇచ్చేసేసారు.
They said, we don't want this money. They returned.
అక్కడ సంపాదించినంతా కూడాను పేద పిల్లలకంతా పంచారు.
All the money they earned, distributed to poor people there.
కట్టగడపటికి వారికి రిజైన్ చేసి తిరిగి నా దగ్గరికి వచ్చి చేరిపోయారు.
They resigned their jobs outside and came down to ప్రశాంతరాలయం.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి పిల్లల యొక్క తత్వం ఎవరెవరు అర్థం చేసుకుంటారు?
Who can understand the true nature, the quality of our students?
ఇది ఎవరు కూడా అర్థం చేసుకోలేరు.
No one can comprehend.
అలాంటి పిల్లల చేత నేను నా జీవితంలో చక్కగా ఆనందంగా గడుపుతున్నాను.
Bhagwan is so happy because of such students.
నాకు ఎట్టి ఖర్చు కానీ, ఎట్టి బాధలు కానీ, ఎట్టి తొందరలు కానీ నాకు ఎవరు ఏమాత్రం ఇవ్వటం లేదు.
And in fact, there's no worry, no anxiety, no high expenditure, nothing whatsoever.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి పిల్లలు సోదరుల కంటే అధికంగా కూడాను చూసుకుంటూ వస్తుంటారు.
These brothers mingle among themselves like brothers, more than their own.
స్వామి లేచేటప్పటికి అప్పుడే ముందు వచ్చి ఉంటారు.
They are ready to report to Swami by the time Bhagwan gets.
ఏం చేయలేకపోద్దు.
What is to be done this morning?
స్వామిని అడుక్కొని ముందు చేయవలసినటువంటి పనులకంతా పోయి పునాదులు వేస్తుంటారు.
They take instructions from Bhagwan and execute them.
ఇలాంటి పిల్లలు ఇప్పుడు ప్రశాంత నిలయంలో కూడా నా చుట్టూ 200 మంది ఉన్నారు.
There are 200 students around Bhagwan here in Prashantralayam.
ఆ 200 మంది కూడాను సోంపేర్లు వాళ్ళు కూర్చోవటం లేదు.
These 200 boys are not lazy fellows.
అంత వారి పనులు వారే చేసుకుంటూ ఉంటారు.
They do their own work.
ఎంత పని చేస్తున్నారంటే దాన్ని లెక్క పెట్టడానికి వీల్లేదు.
యూ కెనాట్ మెజర్, యూ కెనాట్
కౌంట్. చెప్పనక్కర్లేదు.
యూ కెనాట్ సే దిస్ వే ఆర్ దట్ వే.
అన్ని పనులు చేస్తూనే ఉంటారు.
దే అటెండ్ టు ఆల్ జాబ్స్.
కనుక ఇలాంటి పిల్లల చేత దేశం పడిందంటే ఎంతైనా బాగుపడుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ బాయ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ టైప్, ద హోల్ కంట్రీ విల్ అడ్వాన్స్ ప్రోగ్రెస్.
అందరికీ సహాయం చేస్తుంటారు.
దే హెల్ప్ ఎవ్రీబడి.
ఇంకా నేను చేయవలసింది ఒక్కటే.
There's one thing that is left.
వీళ్ళందరికీ తగినటువంటి యొక్క ఆదర్శాన్ని నేను చూపించాలి.
Bhagwan sets an ideal to all of them.
ఎవరిపైనా ఆధారపడకోకుండా,
without depending on anybody.
వీళ్ళు ఎప్పుడు కూడా వారి పనులపైనే వారు ఆధారపడి ఉండాలి.
దే షుడ్ బి సెల్ఫ్ రిలయంట్, స్టాండ్ ఆన్ దేర్
ఓన్. వారు ఉండగలరు.
Yes, they can maintain themselves.
కనుక ఈనాడు ఎన్ని చెప్తున్నారంటే మా పిల్లలంటే అంత గొప్ప విద్యావంతులు, గుణవంతులు కూడా.
All these things Bhagavan is telling today, so that everybody will come to know the students are men of character and integrity.
Kunavantulu.
They are virtuous.
Balavantulu.
Strong.
Inka vallu chepparadante dhanavantulu kudanu.
They are also affluent.
Varini vare sampayinchukuntunnaru kani inko talidandudi okka naya paisa kuda muttatam ledhu.
They earn their own money. They don't depend on parents.
తల్లిదండ్రులు వచ్చి ఆయన ఏమైనా కావాలా అంటే ఏమి అక్కర్లేదు.
His parents come and inquire, what do you want? They
అన్ని
say,
మా స్వామి చూసుకుంటున్నాడు అని ఎంతనో చెప్పి వాళ్ళకు ధైర్యాన్ని ఇస్తుంటారు.
All these boys say to their parents, Bhagavan is taking care of us. We don't need anything.
ఈ విధంగా ఇంకా మున్ముందు ఎన్నియో జరగబోతున్నాయి.
In future, many more things are going to happen.
కనుక దేశమునకు ఎట్టి భయము లేదు.
The country needs no fear.
భారతదేశంకు భాగ్యమైనటువంటి దేశంగా తయారవుతుంది.
Bharat is going to be a very rich country.
కనుక మా పిల్లల వల్ల ఈ దేశము ఎంతైనా అభివృద్ధికి వచ్చి
this country will prosper and progress by these boys.
వీరే దీనికి నాయకులుగా నిలచడానికి తగినటువంటి యొక్క ఆస్పదం కూడా ఏర్పడుతుంది.
They are going to be the future leaders of this country.
కనుక ఈ లీడర్స్ అంతా కూడాను మా యొక్క బిడ్డలే, మా యొక్క పిల్లలే అని నేను చెప్పుకోవడానికి ఎంతైనా కూడాను ఆదర్శంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
Bhagavan is an ideal to all these boys who are going to be the future leaders of this country.
ఓం శ్రీ సాయిరామ్. థ్యాంక్ యూ భగవాన్ ఫర్ యట్ అనదర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ సాయి సన్నిధి డే, అ డే దట్ ఫిల్స్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్ విత్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్, అ డే దట్ ఫిల్స్ అవర్ హార్ట్ విత్ నియర్నెస్ అండ్ డియర్నెస్, అ డే దట్ వి చెరిష్ ఫర్ ఎవర్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్స్. వాట్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఈవినింగ్ దిస్ హెస్ బీన్. The thought of Draupadi's praise from the mouth of our beloved Bhagwan started off this program. The three ideas of being in sync with the Lord, not going against. The second about seva, about the continuous urge to serve. And the third thought about complete satisfaction. Let this be the watchwords for all of us, dear brothers. Synchronicity, being in sync with the Lord. Service, the absolute desire to continue to serve the Lord. And satisfaction. The three S of Sri Satya Sai, let it be synchronicity, service and satisfaction for us. And this thought came out so beautifully throughout the program. Every concept that was covered here today, the love of Kodaikanal, the excitement of Kodaikanal, the joy of being in his proximity, the joy of being corrected, the joy of being near that magnet that continues to magnetize us so that we are in sync with the Lord's thought process. I remember a small incident in my life, my very first visit to Kodaikanal. We all go as small pieces of rock which Bhagwan picks up and then chisels. I had gone there unaware of the ways of the world around Swami, ways of that world, right? And as I was seated there, Bhagwan came, in Sai Shruti Bhagwan came, and a boy next to me offered a handkerchief to Swami. Swami took the handkerchief, he said, good boy. He looked at me and said, handkerchief nahi hai?
I told, no, Swami, I just shook my head. I did not have a handkerchief. Did not even have the brightness of the mind to get handkerchiefs. I just said, no, Swami. We are dull-headed. Till we come to Bhagwan and get that jolt of electricity. The second day, the same thing happened. He picked up a handkerchief. He looked at me and he said, Swami, handkerchief deta hai. Swami will give you handkerchiefs. I told, yes, Swami. We are always ready to accept from the Lord. That afternoon, Bhagwan, when he came out of his bedroom, he was holding a big bundle of handkerchiefs. And he gave it to me and told, pocket mein rakh sakta hai. See the way Bhagwan trains, each one of us. In the smallest of things, the reason I am saying is, he has started from scratch, he has started from ground zero and built this edifice in each one of us. That evening, I had kept all the handkerchiefs very beautifully in my suitcase, and one I had folded beautifully and kept in my pocket. Swami poochne se de sakta hai. Swami had told, every time Swami asks, you should give. So I had kept it very nicely in my pocket. And Swami came, the fellow next to me again gave the handkerchief. Swami looked at me. Handkerchief nahi hai? Swami hai, Swami. Pocket mein rakhne ko diya hai? Did I give it to you to keep it in the pocket? Swami had told me that I should give it to him when he asks. But I realized that that is not the complete picture. I realized that every time Swami did this, he had this habit of doing this beautiful habit, and we know that we have to give the handkerchief. He makes us aware. He makes us in sync with him. He's teaching us to be in synchronicity with his every action. I realized that I have to give the handkerchief to him at that point of time. Fourth day, takes 4 days to get into the head, the thick head. And as he came, I gave the handkerchief. Swami told, good boy. I'm sorry. Good boy does not come that easy. Fourth day, again, I had not given the handkerchief. And Swami said, hey, bad boy. That is the shot. That is the shock that comes. And, you know, that makes you aware, telling that. That is when I realized that this is the sign that I should watch. And then the fifth day, I gave the handkerchief. And Swami took it. Good boy. And Swami gave back the handkerchief. As he gave back, there was a watch in that handkerchief. There was a beautiful golden watch in that handkerchief. I took the handkerchief, put it in my pocket, and a watch falls out. To a numbskull, to a person who has got such slow mind, Swami gives a watch for giving a handkerchief to him. From that day onwards, we used to do namaskar with one hand, because the other hand is waiting for the handkerchief. Everybody is in sync with Bhagwan because everybody wants to give a handkerchief to Bhagwan. That is the way he teaches us to be in sync. And that is the way he teaches us to be proactive in service. He wants us to anticipate his needs. He wants us to anticipate the needs of others. Not stay laid back, not be laid back, not be sitting back. He wants us to anticipate the needs, anticipate the opportunities for seva, and then fulfill those needs. That is the beauty of Bhagwan's teaching. The third one is of satisfaction. I was thrilled when Brother Bhargav narrated that incident, telling that it is my good fortune. Bhagwan says that it is my good fortune. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to narrate one small incident. I remember Bhagwan as during the last few years, when the darshans had become rare. One day I was cleaning Bhagwan's room. Normally I would do it when Bhagwan would come for darshan, but Bhagwan had not gone for darshan for a couple of days, and then I was cleaning the room, because when Swami was there, I would never do that, but that day I was cleaning the room. And as I finished cleaning the room, and as I came out drenched in sweat, Swami looked at me and said, Vardhillu Bangaru. I did not understand the meaning of that word. Vardhillu Bangaru. I went closer to Swami, all drenched in sweat, and Swami, Artham Kaled Swami. He was lying on the bed. And Swami said, Vardhillu means prosper. The satisfaction in his heart, brothers and sisters, that is the point I'm talking about. The satisfaction in the heart of Bhagwan was genuine. When he would see each one of you working for him, when he would see the sacrifice that you would make, when he sees the sacrifice that the devotees make for him, his heart fills with joy. His heart fills with satisfaction. To have given that joy, brothers and sisters, to have given that joy to the Lord of the universe is the greatest gift that he has given, conferred on us. To be able to be worthy of that joy, to be able to feel that joy in our hearts now. When we see the youngsters today, one of the beautiful points that was conveyed in the morning session was that even today, the younger brothers and sisters are joining our group. They are joining, though the physical frame of Bhagwan is not with us, they are joining in droves. They are continuing to join the institution to serve the Lord. What is it that drives them? What is it that gives them the satisfaction? We, the senior brothers and sisters, should look at them and feel our hearts, blossom out with pride at these youngsters. And when that blossoming of our heart happens, let us realize, brothers and sisters, that it is not just our heart, it is the divine Swami, it is Bhagwan who is residing in our heart and enjoying and feeling proud of those young brothers and sisters. By Bhagwan's grace, I have had the good fortune of working with youngsters who have joined the Vidyavahini program. And as these youngsters, one fine day, one young boy, he comes to me and tells that, "Brother, I have applied for the PhD, but I have decided that I will apply for the PhD next year. One year I would like to do the Vidyavahini fellowship program." And he says, "Brother, wherever there is a need, I can speak all the 4 South Indian languages and I can speak a smattering of Hindi. Brother, wherever there is a need, I am ready to go." That satisfaction, I cried that night. I cried with joy that night. I went home and cried with joy, and I knew it is Bhagwan who is feeling that joy through my heart. There are brothers from Andhra who are working in Haryana. There are brothers from Chennai who are working in Uttarakhand. There is a sister, a 21-year-old girl who is from Sikkim but is working in Rajasthan. There is one girl from Kerala who is working in Himachal Pradesh. This is the kind of satisfaction that these young brothers and sisters are finding in the Sai Sannidhi. And as they continue to join, as they continue to find that satisfaction, let us all feel proud that satisfaction. Let synchronicity, let service and satisfaction be the 3 S in our lives. Because I know that He is watching and that there is someone above always watching over us. Jai Sai Ram.
presence in our lives. You are a source, strength, guidance and goal.
At your feet, dear Lord, we pray. Grace us with your love this day. At your feet, dear Lord, we pray. Grace us with your love this day. Sai Baba, Sai Baba, you are Krishna, you are Rama.
There is Lord Sai to guide us. There is Satya Sai to show us the way. There is Swami to love us. There is always there to care. There is Lord Sai to guide us. There is Satya Sai to show us the way. There is Swami to love us. He is always there to care.
Yeah.
अनंत ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर
Radha Madhava Jaya Bhagavan. Sarathi, Sai Kanhaiya.
प्रेम मुदित मन से कहो राम 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 कनके देख कामना
Mangala Arati Andu. Shanti, Shanti, Samasta Loka, Sukhino Bhavantu, Samasta Loka, Sukhino Bhavantu, Samasta Loka, Sukhino Bhavantu.
Shanti,
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 Jai.